And a very good evening to everybody. The program is Off the Wall. Emmanuel Goldstein here with you on this Tuesday evening. Tonight we air the second part of our retrospective on the Hacking at Random conference, which took place at a campground in the Netherlands in August of 2009. You'll hear a bunch of commentary from a few of us wandering around the campgrounds, as well as some interspersed audio from HAR-FM, which was a radio station put together for the specific purpose of broadcasting to the attendees of the HAR conference. So now let's go back to August 2009 and experience HAR.
I don't care about
Italian embassy. Italian embassy is where I am. I am at Italian embassy. Italian embassy. Oh, these phones suck really badly. I'm at the Italian embassy. Yes, I am at the Italian embassy. This is like the eighth time I said it now. I'll go to the entrance of the free BSD tent. No, wait, open BSD tent. Wait, you heard that? I'm at the Italian embassy. It'd be better if you went to the Italian embassy. Bye. I wonder if he heard me. Hey!
How are you?
I'm good.
I'm giving you the clean hand. The other one is completely full of alcohol.
Oh. Say hello to our American radio listeners.
Oh, we are in direct transmission.
It's not live.
Oh, we are in the Italian embassy. Is running one of the biggest party that is announced on the homepage of HAR. And we are here to have a lot of fun all together, sharing information, drinking alcohol, and have fun all together. And all important people like Emmanuel is here to share fun with us.
Yes. And, of course, you made it to New York for the last hope.
Yeah, I was there, and it was one of the most important experiences of my life. Because I was there, and I was talking about web security that is one of my most followed topics about security. And in the room in which I was talking, there were all the people. I was reading their articles since many and many years, so I was really, really impressed.
We have a lot of Italian people that show up now.
I will try to come there even next year, because I think it's a very cool conference. And I'm also trying to involve more European people, because I think that exchanging experience across continents where culture is so different is very important to create something more powerful and more conscious.
Yeah, absolutely.
See you later. See you in New York.
CCC Congress, maybe?
Of course. Just from the Italian embassy, our slogan, Italian Grappa!
Welcome to a special news bulletin of HAR-FM on 106.8 FM. My name is Brenno de Winter. The coin system has been hacked. The plastic coins have been duplicated. And if everything works out correctly, I'm in contact already with Anya. And she is normally doing the technical stuff, but now she is ready to give her report. Hey, Anya, are you there? Hey, what has happened? Anya? Yeah, what has happened?
From FabLab, they have 3D plotter, and this plotter is able to replicate the money coins.
Okay.
At the HAR, we have this money system where we can change exchange the European money into the plastic chip, and this machine can just copy the plastic chip. What they did was that they produced 100 euro coin, which does not exist, just to try if it's possible. And then they make a test how good the quality is by making a 10 euro coin and try to exchange them into 5 euro coins, and it worked out.
And then it all worked out. That's amazing. So basically, now Har has to look for a different way of paying for the food and the drinks, and which is more important.
Can you repeat the question? Like,
sure. So it's now time to go for a whole different type of coin to pay for your food and drinks.
Yeah, no, there are no more coins out in the area, because of course it's illegal, and of course it's not good for the camp as well. So they just showed that it's possible, and now they are producing some 100 euro coins for fun, for showing the process. But yeah, take care that there are no coins outside.
Anya, thank you so much for bringing that report. Would you be so kind to come to the studio and bring one or two 100 euro coins, please?
Yeah, I can do that.
Okay, see you in a second.
Okay, see you then.
And so far the report filed by Anya, and she is currently on her way to the studio with a 100 euro coin, and I need to relax a little bit. And I think you can do that with pizza, beer, and some music. And you're still listening to Har FM 106.8 and on the web at fm.har2009.org. In the studio, and I don't know if it's coincidence or not, is the police. We were just breaking the news about the coins being hacked. Would that actually be illegal? Would that something be that you would, as police in general, investigate? Because
I think it's a really nice practical joke, and I can really appreciate what the guys who did this that's nice, but I don't know if we really would investigate a case like this. No.
Unless of course in big amounts you would start to spend money.
And probably in a more serious environment.
Definitely. I think the environment is very important as well, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
Can you introduce yourself? Because you're quite a famous Dutch person, I can then now say.
Okay. My name is Frans Kolkman, and I'm the head of a high-tech crime unit in the east part of the country.
Yes.
And I'm working there for 3 days in the week, and the other 2 days I'm a member of the National Cybercrime Program.
Oh, Samen tegen Cybercrime,
the police part of the Cybercrime Development Program.
Okay, that, you know, that sounds relaxed, but I think that's pretty
much serious work. Yeah, that's work.
Yeah, because you need to do a hell of a lot of work without actually the staffing that you deserve. Because when, for instance, a search warrant is executed, they are calling you.
We deliver support. In fact, the higher level of expertise we deliver is a second line of support we deliver to local police forces.
Really?
So, not in every high-tech crime they will ask us for support, but in the major cases we deliver support.
Yeah, and 4 years ago that was a total different story.
Well, that's for the total field, but I have to make a difference between my unit and what's done by the local police forces. But if you look at the total amount of specialists we have in the Dutch police forces, I think the total amount of specialists we have all over the country for the support for the whole police force is about 250 police officers. That's it.
Yeah. Well, I don't call that a lot of people, but
that's
at least
a lot of people. No.
And then still, you sometimes crack very high level crimes. I can remember a couple of arrests last year.
Yeah, that's true. And of course, our digital world is getting more and more complicated. And if you want to do police work in that world, that means that you have to have a lot of knowledge about IT stuff because you have to know what's going on.
Yes, and well, you know, but that's very knowledge intensive.
Yeah, that's true. So that means that we have to train our specialists almost all the time. We have to keep up with the development of the technology.
Yeah.
And of course that's difficult. That's difficult.
Yeah, that must be a challenge. And then still you crack a lot of cases because there was this big botnet last year that was taken down with links to Brazil.
Yeah.
And I believe the high-tech crime unit in general, did a very, very good job in that one.
Yeah, I think so too. I think, of course, I'm not from that high-tech crime unit. That's a different part of the organization from Dutch police. But I think it's true that they did a very nice job.
Yeah, by the way, the money you heard falling down, that is actually the money that has been duplicated. And I'm now giving a coin of 100 euro. I'm showing it to the police right now.
Is this 100 coin? That's nice. Okay. Is this the...
This is the fake one. Yeah, and is he the one to arrest now?
I don't want him.
No. Hey, I will get to you in a second. We were just talking about fighting cybercrime in general. And that's a real tough job. Oh, there's even some more... counterfeited money.
How did the law meeting go?
It was not my cup of tea, although Voltaire really likes it and is engaged. Well, I don't know if he really likes it, but he's engaged in debates.
Very nice, very nice.
I was led away by my pal Finn, who pointed out a Tesla coil behind these trees. There's a whole little hidden area of the camp, and there's all these people surrounding a Tesla coil, which I guess I should have already seen one, but I haven't never really seen one, also because it's like almost, it's child-sized.
Really?
Yeah.
So are you heading over there now?
I'm thinking, yeah.
All right, let's walk together and we'll see what...
I'm worried that it won't work for very long. Or...
Well, explain for our listeners what it's supposed to do.
Oh, Tesla coils, what they really do, they emit electricity, do they not?
Yeah, and but they don't kill people, right?
I'm not sure.
Well, we'll find out soon.
Yeah, they were talking about putting objects near it. So I suppose when you get near it...
Oh, wait, I think I saw this once on a program, and they actually, like, advanced them in time so that the objects appear someplace... No, I saw this. I'm pretty sure it was a documentary.
What's the name of the movie?
Yeah, I don't remember, to be honest, what it was. There was a lot of, like, shouting and running around. I just assumed that was part of it. I think they were transporting mice, and they would show up, and... And you're not supposed to get the future mouse close to the present mouse or something bad will happen. I'm not sure, but these are questions we can ask these people.
His family pictures with mice, they start to fade away.
Okay, so we're back at the OpenDSD tent, but how do we get to this hidden area?
Look at this, Flaming Village.
The Flaming Village, wait, what does that mean exactly? Flaming Village behind BSD tent in the woods.
This is what I'm talking about.
Yeah, this is kind of scary, actually.
Yeah, I know one way to get there. This sign tells a whole different way.
All right.
Let's go my way. Let's try not to trip on any tents. We're going between a lot of tents, and there's always cables, fiber. Well, not fiber.
I'm more worried about a flaming village and tripping over wires, but...
I did see someone juggling fire, but that was in the complete opposite side of this massive town.
All right, I've never been on this side of this tent before.
Exactly. There's a whole bunch of caravans here.
I'm sad, because tomorrow this is all going to start to get dismantled, and there are just so many parts I wanted to explore.
See, I should have set my tent in a place like this.
I don't know if I'd put my tent next to something called Flaming Village. That might be asking for trouble.
I was thinking about the trees.
They are very nice. Do you ever describe what's going on with the trees for the radio audience?
We're in an area that's very wooded area, you would call it, a forest almost. And there's a whole lot of tents set up underneath. And since it's nighttime, they're beaming light into the trees, up into the trees. And they're filtering that light with a sort of polka dot motif. So there's a little white... polka dots moving in constant movement in the trees.
If you were on acid right now, you would be convinced that the trees were actually snakes and that they were crawling all around you and about to attack.
Yeah.
So I hope nobody's on acid here. And there's a group of people up there on the hill surrounded by light. Looks like they're doing something, and I see something that could be a coil.
Are these people hiding from the Tesla coil?
I don't know. Let's
Those
wander
people
up the hill.
Afraid.
They don't seem afraid, but they also could be very foolish. We're climbing up a steep hill now.
Yeah.
And,
this must be Flaming Village.
Do you know the word for danger in different languages, in case someone shouts
that
word? Okay, they're attaching something, and it's...
It looks, powerful.
Let's get closer to the back of where these people are standing so we can hear what they're saying.
Okay. Right. We can also ask them, but...
You could do that, too.
There's actual, looks like houses here. Or
yeah, this is the edge of the camp. This
yeah.
is a regular.
There's
other
real people over there on the other side.
Yeah, they must be thrilled.
Seeing people assemble this device here.
They must be thrilled about the good Wi-Fi they're getting. If you're,
all
if you're
of a sudden,
camper,
from six different networks.
Yeah, if you're a regular camper in this area, it's probably the first time you've had so much choice in terms of wireless internet.
Also choice in whether or not you can accept some man-in-the-middle attacks and wind up giving away your entire life. This happened to a couple of people I know, actually, who should know better. Their iPhones got taken over.
Ooh.
Because they hit return at the wrong time, and all of a sudden, now they're worried that their Gmail password has been compromised. So they've given away their entire lives.
At the wrong time. I wasn't even
they're
thinking
playing
about
a game or something, and all of a sudden something popped up on the screen. Do you accept? Yes. Oh, boy, what did I just do?
Yes, I've seen several reports. Twitter is a really fun channel to watch during this because it's not overcrowded.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe it is. But and every now and then it says, could someone please stop with the fill-in-the-blank for whatever kind of attack? It's really not nice.
Yeah, in fact, I think that was the same person that was victim of this.
It looks like the Tesla coil isn't coiling.
It's not coiling.
No, I'm just, yeah.
Well, okay. It needs to do that.
Yeah. They're looking underneath it. Mm. Very impressive.
And cautiously touching it, yeah.
I'm very scared about that.
Yeah.
We're
scared of progress.
Poor descriptions of what we're looking at, but you could explain.
We're scared of change.
We're looking at a Tesla coil, is that correct?
Yeah, exactly. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
And it was working. It's not working. It was built today. What's the
No. Actually, we have.
Who are you, or who do you? Is this the Flaming Village?
Yeah,
we
exactly.
Set it up because we're on
yeah.
radio.
We're talking to the radio, and they can't see the Tesla coil, unfortunately.
Now we have people from Dortmund, and so we've built that Tesla coil. We have started on the Camp 2007. With a smaller version, and now we've increased a bit in power. So we get sparks about I think 1 to 1.2 meters maybe. So it's about a million volt.
A million volts.
Yeah.
A lot of volts.
Okay?
Yeah, right. Yes. Yeah, no, it's fine. I mean, we are just packing this stuff together because it's getting a bit late because it's really noisy. So that's a bit of a disadvantage, especially when you build it in a large city. You cannot run it everywhere you want, either because of the sparks or because of the noise. Yeah.
So is it done for the night? You're not going to do it again?
Yeah. I mean,
he seems not certain. Like,
Now, and we are currently working on improving it by using different components, but we didn't get that finished on the camp here, so. Yeah.
You're saying camp is too short.
Yeah, maybe a bit. I mean, of course, you also don't work only on your project. You meet people and so on. So, And, I mean, sometimes parts are missing and you need some more time to get everything done. But
So in keeping with tradition, you started it 2 years ago. You made a larger version.
Exactly.
In 2 years, larger version?
Yeah, I mean, I personally would be interested to see how small you can actually get to make some kind of like a desktop version, which you can maybe also run indoors, maybe with some kind of a Faraday cage, because it's a bit more difficult actually to build smaller parts because it's it's a bit harder to get the power into the small devices. But maybe we also get a larger version, but it's a bit a matter of the money, of course, because it costs money. You can get some parts when you know some people, but it's costly.
Cool.
But it's fun, and it doesn't really make sense, so
the local campers are describing. Oh, never mind. They're just behind me.
What are they describing?
They're excited to be near the, as they called it, the electricity pole.
Well, I mean, to the average person, it's like alien technology just sitting here in the forest. Yeah. What would people have seen when it was working? It's a lot of lights and noise.
Yeah, a lot of noise, of course, and also the sparks coming from the top of the system. But it's noisy. Yeah.
So noise can be a good thing.
Yeah.
Like electricity noise, like.
It's much louder because we have this spark gap which rotates, so you generate spark at a certain frequency just to make the whole thing running. So it's something you produce not because you want to produce it, but you have to produce it, and that's the really loud thing. But it's quite popular because you don't need so much material to actually get voltages of a million volt. I mean, when you would try to build a normal transformer, it would be, I don't know, a ton weight, and so it's more difficult. But that's just a principle. I mean, that's based on thoughts of Nikola Tesla, which is, of course, really, really popular. And, I mean, he wanted to make some wireless transmitters. Because, I mean, as you've seen those now, or maybe you didn't see, we had those lights, and they are actually ignited when they are a few meters away because you have such a large electric field.
Okay, he's referring to, I'm just going to add some radio color here, there are long fluorescent bulbs, like the kind you would see in your lights at school or at work. And they're stuck into the ground, just one end to the ground, and exactly as he said, they were lighting up. And a few feet away from the coil. That's funny you were talking about that. I was just watching the film The Prestige, which is an all right film, and David Bowie is Nikola Tesla, and they go to the town of Aspen, Colorado, which apparently, if their history is okay, Tesla had moved there, and he made a deal with the town that he could do experimentation. He gave them electricity, he made electricity for the whole town, apparently one of the first towns in the U.S., and at night the deal was he could do experiments with the power after everybody went to sleep. And so at one scene in the movie, which probably people know, they're standing in a field, and to just show the power to one of the magicians, he takes a light bulb and he sticks it in the ground, and it lights up. And of course the magician is like, How is that? That's magic. You know, that's amazing. And then he just moves it and he screws it into another part of the ground and it lights up again.
Yeah,
this is a good scene, actually.
Yeah, no, but it's true. I mean, he's originally from Romania, but he moved to Colorado. It's basically a fun project. Of course, you want to see how far you can drive it actually with a certain amount of equipment. And, I mean, it doesn't really make sense.
No? Wait, how does it not make sense?
I mean, of course, it's just producing sparks. It doesn't have, a sense. I mean, it doesn't do something.
I like how he said it doesn't make any sense what we're doing here.
No, but I mean, here it's really fine because people are interested in the technology. But when you meet everyday people, I mean, maybe the first question is like, hey, what's that? How is that working? And then it's something that, but what does it do practically?
Yeah.
I mean, okay,
it'll
produces
light up
sparks.
That bulb in your pocket.
Yeah.
And the correct answer is it works.
Right. By the way, a little side note on the Tesla thing, which is worth researching. Apparently, Edison's people, the competition, were regularly trying to get him in trouble or break his stuff and keep him from succeeding in whatever he was doing.
Mm-hmm.
So the story goes. I'm sure Edison supporters will deny it.
Oh, open up that controversy again. See.
Old Edison versus Tesla must have been big.
Okay, well... Actually, Ligi was doing some nice extension that we recorded earlier this day. He actually made his mobile phone talk to him what this quadcopter is about, and we will just have a short look at it. Please start the demo.
Connected to microcopter version 0.75. Established. Battery at 11.2 volts, altitude at 0.0 meters. Battery at 10.7 volts, altitude at 0.0 meters. Flight time 17 seconds. Warning. Warning. RC signal lost.
Yeah, actually a talking quadcopter, quite nice. Ligi, how do you do it?
This is Java for micro edition, Java micro editions for most mobile phones.
On your mobile phone, yeah?
Yeah.
With some audio samples? Yeah?
What? These audio samples actually come from a friend. He has a good microphone and stuff like that. I had some samples before, which are made by a TTS system, but these were limited and not sound nice. So I recorded some with a friend of mine.
Okay, well, we play just a short piece of music now and then talk back later to you. This music is from Alexei Virta. It's called Dragons. Thank you.
my domination.
Okay, this is one of our favorite games, is when someone is interviewing you and someone else is interviewing back. Emmanuel, why are you here at HAR?
I don't know. It just seems like the only place I can possibly be now.
Oh.
It makes sense. It makes perfect sense.
I was discussing with some people before that a lot of people meet you in a lot of events like this, but a lot of people never remind your face, mainly because they are always so drunk or a lot of things.
I tend to be the face people see when they're drunk a lot of times.
Yeah, and what's the most recurring answer about why you are here at HAR?
Why I'm here? What's the most recurring answer?
When you ask people all around why you are here, what people say?
That they couldn't possibly miss this, that it was the hacker event of the year, and they went to one before, or they missed one before, but regardless, they wanted to be at this one.
Tim Kuik, you've just arrived at HAR, and you are going to speak on a panel with a room full of dislikers. How does that make you feel?
Ah, yeah, okay. You know, you can always see whether there's understanding for each other's points of view. So let's take a look at it.
Yeah, because you have been suing the Pirate Bay.
Yeah, but I'm not the only one.
Absolutely true. You won the first case, but they didn't have a fair chance to defend themselves in court, they claim.
Yeah, that's what they claim, but they knew that the hearing was there. They chose not to be there. Then it's difficult to be heard. But I hear that they are going to create a second chance. They said they were going to ask a new hearing, so let's see whether they do what they say.
Yeah, and then during the appeal, basically you have said like they don't have to go offline yet.
No, we said like, okay, you know, appeal the default decision, that's okay. The lawyer asked for a 2-week postponement, that we wait for 2 weeks with executing the decision, and we said that's fine because in another 2 weeks this new owner is possibly going to take over the Pirate Bay, so then we have to deal with that new owner anyway.
Yeah, but why go the legal way all the time? You know, there are so many other ways of creating a new business model, for instance.
Yeah, there's also the Pirate Bay way, the not legal one, for example.
Yeah, but maybe I love that site.
Maybe you do. And it's always, illegal can be sexy, but it's also causing a lot of damage. And we believe that the people who create content are entitled to decide what to do with their content. If they want to put it on the Pirate Bay, that's fine, but it's not up to the Pirate Bay or its users that people are going to give away their own stuff for free. That's really for the people who make it.
Now, apparently a parliamentary commission in the Netherlands made a report about how to deal with the rights. You have to change your tune. That's basically what the committee said.
Do I have to change my tune?
Yeah, well, you know, you have to look for new business models, for instance.
Okay, well, I'm brain, so we do enforcement. And of course, right owners are looking for new business models. And then, you know, you have this famous chicken and egg. Thank you. We have that famous chicken and egg discussion, meaning if you want to have a legal business model, you need to be able to enforce your rights against illegality. And it all has to happen at the same time. It's not one has to go first. It has to happen at the same time. Otherwise, you can have lots of discussion about, you know, what was first, the chicken or the egg. But if the illegality is not, if you don't put a halt to that, there'll be no chicken and no egg.
Okay, but, yeah, now you're basically the personification of Brein, the enforcement agency. People poke around making fun of you all the time. Doesn't that ever make you tired?
No, because we're on a mission, and we are creating a framework of jurisprudence which makes plain, clear the rules of the game. And as these rules become clear and clear, it is clear that you have to abide by those rules. And if you don't, you know, then you can be stopped. I think that's good for everybody.
Yeah. Are you also going after individual users that sometimes download a song or pirate a song?
No, we don't go after downloaders. We go after basically professional uploaders, so to speak. But most of the stuff we do is the sites that give the access to the illegal content. In Holland, doesn't matter whether the content is on your site or not. It is, are you making use of it with your site or not? If you structurally use illegal content or the availability of the illegal content, for instance, by linking or referring to it in a structural manner, then that's unlawful, and you have to stop that. You have to make sure that your site doesn't do that, otherwise your site can be stopped.
Okay, and you've had a couple of cases already.
More than one. We had, seven, or including the Pirate Bay now, nine verdicts that basically show that the court does agree with that point of view.
Yeah. Now, the victory you had, of course, it was a victory, and no doubt about that. It was seen as the first time, but I looked around, it's not the first time, actually. The court, yeah, I once covered the case Lindos, and some of the hackers might remember that, that apparently infringed on the name of Microsoft. Later it turned out not to be the case, and they were blocked. Did you look at those cases, or was it just really see how far you can go?
No, we looked at our own cases, and it was, the Pirate Bay decision was not a surprise at all, because we already had seven decisions whereby the court made clear that if your site structurally makes use of the availability of illegal content on the internet, for instance, by indexing links and tracking, like the Pirate Bay does, that's unlawful. You have to take measures to make sure your site is not doing that. So it was not a big surprise, and it was not the first time either. It was exactly the eighth and the ninth time.
What was the most exciting case so far?
Well, the most exciting case, of course, was the first time we really got the Court of Appeal in Amsterdam to agree that indeed that a site which was making use of illegal content by linking to it was unlawful, and it was a great victory, because it was the same Court of Appeal that earlier, a few years before, that had said, well, CASA was legal because it was also used for legal content.
CASA.
And so these same judges now, provided with the right kind of evidence, saw that it was structural abuse, and they said, no, that's unlawful.
Okay, and I think the typical word here is structural.
Because
I can pirate music by email as well.
Look, if you have a site, or a forum or anything, and, everybody is happily going along, and then there is an incidental infringement or incidentally a link to some illegal content, that's fine. Then you have your notice and takedown, and a right owner can say, hey, did you know that somebody is doing this and this, which is illegal on your site? And you take it off, no problem. But if your site makes structural abuse, and it's structurally happening, all this use of illegal content, then you need to take supervisory measures. And I know there are a lot of people that don't like that, that disagree with it, but that is really where we're going to. And we're having at the moment a number of cases which will further strengthen that principle in court.
Okay, I'm really curious about that. Really, I want to go back to the report that Parliament made.
Okay.
Do you have any opinion on that?
Well, they took on board a number of things we said, amongst other what I just explained. We're saying, look at the largest common denominator. And the largest common denominator on the internet are really the websites and services that enable this. Now, they need to take their responsibility. If they see their structural abuse, they need to take their responsibility. And that's really what it is about. And the working group has made a number of good proposals in that direction. Of course, that report is about much, much more than just enforcement of copyrights.
Yeah. Tim Kuik of Stichting Brein, thank you so much for answering all these nasty questions.
No, they're not so nasty, and I'm happy to explain.
Thank you.
So we're going to the Austrians now, is that what we're doing? All right, they have their phone booth here. They always bring the phone booth.
The Austrian one, the Austrian tent, is one of the tents that realized the most coolest projects. Describe it, we are passing a lot of fluorescent glowing things all around us.
Wow.
And we are quite confused.
Yeah, that's hanging on a clothesline, it looks like.
Okay. Well,
glow sticks are very strange devices.
We need some... you are not half German.
I'm sorry?
You are not Austrian.
I am not Austrian.
I'm Mitch Altman again.
I am Mitch Altman and I am not Austrian. And Hacker Jeopardy is still happening.
I thought you were in a totally different part of the camp.
I was.
Now you're back here.
This part. But we're not under a disco ball anymore.
Have you seen the Flaming Village? It's awesome.
I have not seen the Flaming Village.
It's right behind that tent.
I'll check it out.
This guy is collaborating with Metal Lab. Metal Lab in those days did a lot of astonishing things, like firing ships across the...
Or floating a giant jellyfish across the camp.
Describe these ships.
Did you have the sheep on you?
Yeah. Of course.
The firing sheep with the potato gun.
Yes, I've seen the sheep before.
Why you were
seen
firing
sheep?
These ships? Because there were a lot of drones flying away to take the drones down. No.
Nobody fired at drones.
They are negating that now. But we were discussing in the Italian embassy this morning about your last night performance. You made a huge squid, a huge glowing squid across the sky.
With helium-filled balloons.
Yeah, and we were discussing, it was really huge because it was some meters tall and very big. And we were discussing if the Italian village will try to do the same in 2 hours, a lot of people will go around with a lot of glowing things on his t-shirt, on his neck, on his bracelet, and so on.
Okay.
And no squid at all. But a lot of people will talk like, I'm talking with the helium, no balloon, but a lot of people talking like, helium.
Do you have some helium? I think we have some left.
No, but Italian people would not fill balloons with helium, but
would
start breathing heat to have strange voices and make fun of these with other people. So it's a different approach. You are able to make a huge, astonishing project. One of the things that astonished people more in Italy when I talk about these camps is that you have voltage and network in your tent, and it's not a normal camp. It was a forestry, it was empty before we arrived here, so everything is built up only for the camp, and people don't believe it because it's a completely incredible organization. And German and CCC and XS for All are very able to create these for their camps.
Yeah, it comes naturally.
Italian 4:48 p.m. You're listening to 106.8 FM. And it's pizza and beer. Har is officially over, but we're broadcasting until midnight. And in the studio is Frans Kolkman. Frans, was it rough these couple of days, these past couple of days?
No, not at all. No, it was, I think, a nice event. We had almost no problems at all, little minor accidents, which I don't want to discuss with.
No.
But it was for us, and especially for the digital guys, it was a perfect, fun, nice, beautiful weather, no problems. So I'm perfectly glad that it went this way.
Yeah, I noticed that a lot of, especially non-Dutch persons, when they come up to you, they're so amazed that, you know, in the Netherlands police is an entity you can talk to.
Yeah, there was a lot of people thought that that it was for them it was strange that you just could talk to us, and even that we also gave answers and that we're just normal people which you can talk to.
Yeah, apparently you are. We had a couple of cups of coffee and got loads of very interesting discussions,
I think, you know, in all the countries, the police should act like that, you know?
Yeah, well, I don't know about what's going on in other countries, but we're open to any discussion, and of course you can agree to disagree, but that's no problem, I think, and we're wanting to discuss any subject you want.
Yeah, and basically any hacks caught at all?
Well, in fact, we still, of course, don't know what we don't know. So,
no.
If in the next few days there still can be
charges filed somewhere,
somewhere, but we'll see.
Can you debunk one story that I keep hearing and I just can't believe?
Yeah.
People are saying that the police has a full dump of all the data at her. I don't know how you would reach such a how you would come to such a dump. But can you debunk that?
No, I can't comment on all the technical things we did. But what I find out after talking to several people on the campsite and also who came up to our truck is that. Usually, people on this festival think that we're far more capable of and having very technical and advanced stuff to lock everything and look through everything. And
there's no master dump of each and every day.
I have no ambition at all to lock to store all the traffic of a 10 gigabit connection to the M6. No.
And even though they didn't use it all.
No. Well, and of course we did some things, but that's.
Oh, you're a hacker still.
Police. Yeah. Of course, and also we try several things too. Of course, yes. But this is also for us a nice technical thing to.
Yeah.
To,
did you have a look at the NOC? Because I think those guys did it.
Yeah,
terribly good job.
I'm every. This is my fourth festival. I'm every time again impressed how it's possible, and at this event also that you are able to have a 7 kilometer fiber on a location like this with everything
yes,
with
and
it.
One of the things that was very special for RFM is we are at a very nasty position, and they really had to go out of their way with new sorts of switches because of I don't know what the technical reasons exactly, but the network team did a great job on that.
Yeah, it was very impressive.
It was.
And of course, I expected already some nice, beautiful technical IT infrastructure, but again and again, I'm surprised at what they achieved.
Yeah. Now, hackers, even if you're sometimes on the wrong side of the law, you also do things on the right side of the law. If you're on the right side and you see something that is really shocking, like child pornography or that type of stuff, and you want to do something about it, and you're in the Netherlands, what should people do?
We have this point which you can contact on a national level. They call Meldpunt, and if you want to if you saw some things that you think that you can't that you want to do something about it. And you can go to this Meldpunt.
Yeah, because going to the regular police offices sometimes, you know, it's too complicated for them, especially.
Yeah. If you want to go to the digital police, if you want to go to cyber crime people who know IT, then it's a good thing to go to the nearest centralized station of a police region,
okay.
Because there are the digital guys.
Yes, exactly, and just ask for them.
And ask for them, try to get them on the phone before you go to the police station, because all the small police stations, of course, don't have these specialists.
No, and, you know, if you say, like, I would like to file charges for computer vredebreuk, they need to think, what the hell was that again?
Yeah, and but of course, we're trying to do, to get everybody on the next level if it comes to IT knowledge, but it will take years from now to get everybody on the right level. So if you want to...
Yeah, but it's difficult. You know, I've been teaching people how to do forensic investigations, like the basic steps. And even if you've taught them, you know, they still will do a window start and then shut down with the system.
Yeah, that's true.
And you've taught them like so many times, so, you know, that just happens.
What we do is, what we advise people is, don't touch, if there's something wrong with the system, don't touch it, call a specialist.
Yes, and if you really can't wait, let's then finish the advice, just unplug it. And be only if you know for sure that there is no UPS inside.
Yeah, there are some other, but, okay.
If you really have to move something and there is no option, but...
Yeah, you can pull the plug. But you don't know what you're killing if you pull the plug, because all outside going connections are gone.
Yes, yes. Also, it's really if you have no option but.
Yeah, and also, of course, one of these new problems is encryption, of course. And encryption keys are most of the time in memory. So if you can capture memory first before shutting it down, that's far to prefer.
Okay, well, that makes a lot of sense. And I hope you had a blast at HAR. We all did. I would like to thank you for being here and being so frank and honest about it. And thank you for the coffee.
Okay, you're welcome.
Frans Kolkman of the Dutch police, thank you so much.
Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
What we're dealing with here is a total lack of respect for the law.
So, out there, dear, I guess congratulations are in order because this has gone very smoothly. And you're one of the main coordinators of HAR. What do you think?
Yeah, I'm very happy with the result myself as well. I must say it panned out even better and more improved than I ever would hope. It's amazing. I'm blown away myself by what people can do if they come together in one community goal, is having the best hacker conference on earth.
Yeah. Now, how long did it take you to put this together? When did you first get involved?
1 year and 3 weeks ago, actually, on the Last Hope.
Really? You started thinking about this at the Last Hope?
No, other people did.
Mm-hmm.
And then they asked me if I would like to help out. I said I would like to think about it. And then the day I left New York and landed in Holland with the airplane on Schiphol, one hour after I touched down in Schiphol, I had a conference call on IRC, which as we nerds actually do, and yeah, that's the way how we do conference calls. And there they asked me if I would try to coordinate this with a bunch of people, and then I had some thoughts about it, and I said yes.
So what's the biggest challenge been?
The challenge is to communicate with all these different type of personalities. You know, herding cats, you know this phrase? Well, herding nerds is way more difficult than herding cats. It's not just a challenge, it's really difficult. Mm-hmm. Especially if they also come from different countries and different cultures, then you really have to be careful to communicate. You have to be clear in your communication, but still very friendly and open, which is especially for me not always.
What's a typical problem you might have come across?
Typical problem is that people really want to do something else than you would like to allow them to do. You know, there's so many rules for doing things right. You know, if you run a bar, you know, you have certain hygienic rules to follow, and so you cannot have anybody run a bar at a hacker camp. And so there are many, many more rules for all kinds of stuff, and you really have to explain people very kindly that, you know, the world is not ideal, and so it's a bit of a hassle in that perspective.
Mm-hmm. They seem to have gotten over that pretty well. People seem happy. I don't
don't see really any problems or conflicts. Everyone seems to be enjoying themselves.
Yeah, totally true. And one of the main reasons is that in Holland we found a new generation of hackers.
Mm-hmm.
A new generation of hackers that actually is capable of pulling this together in a really, a fantastic way, working together with other groups of hackers, also very young. The average age is, I think, something like 24, 25.
So that's what I was hoping would happen at What the Hack. I know there's talk of moving this to Germany instead of having it in Holland because it was a bureaucratic nightmare, but I think it's important to have it in different countries as well and to find that new generation and to keep the spirit going, because I think this inspires so many people when you do something like this in your home country.
Yeah, I agree as well. And for me, it was a no-go to go to another country because, the language barrier is quite big in Europe. In the States, every single state has the same language almost, well, except for California, where people speak Spanish. And it has to be in Holland. And that means you have to comply with some more rules than in other countries. But still, if you are friendly and open for communication with your government, then things can happen, especially if they have the right people.
Mm-hmm. All right. Any other words of inspiration you'd like to give people maybe thinking of doing something like this?
Yeah, make sure you talk to the old guys and you do what you want to do yourself. So learn from the experience, but don't follow their advice or guidelines. Create your own universe, create your own life, and build upon it. And if enough people believe that is a possibility, it will happen.
Yeah, and be inclusive too. Get all the new people involved. Give them. I see a lot of kids basically working really hard, cleaning bathrooms, serving food, things like that. And that kind of responsibility is something amazing.
I agree, and for me it's one of the main goals that I had for this conference when I was asked to coordinate this. I want to give this to the new generation. I want to give them something like almost, legacy is a big word, but something like a path that they could walk. And I think that actually happened. So the new generation of hackers in Holland have been born. They're a little bit more less idealistic, a little bit more pragmatic. And that's maybe not bad because Dutch people are, sales guys, anyway. So, yeah, inspiration, I think that's a big word, but I think it's possible to do it. And we should do it again. And I think as I hear the guys who, kind of organized this event, the young guys, they are so enthusiastic that they're thinking about doing next year a small one, a more intimate one. And so keeping the spirit alive so that in 4 years we actually don't have only 30 people from the start, but, a big group of people.
Nice. Well, Albert, we look forward to seeing you at the registration desk at the Next Hope next July.
And the press contact, of course.
And many other things.
And we'll have to do that as well.
We'll have you running that one as well, because you've certainly proven that you can put magic together here. And that'll be in New York City in July, and looks like the Last Hope that you're a key part of.
Yeah, I loved it as well. I love the conferences in New York. The weather is always great. The city is fantastic. And the group of people there is quite special as well, completely different than in Holland. I'm almost the social aspect and the political aspect is so much more present in New York, which inspires me a lot in New York. And I love to be at the Next Hope as well, which I found a great joke, Last Hope, Next Hope. Really made me...
It wasn't a joke, it was a misunderstanding. People just assumed last hope meant the final hope, and it just meant the previous one, that's all.
Yeah, I do understand that is not for you not a joke, but I found it very funny.
Yeah. What's not a joke is after the Next Hope, what we're going to call the one after that, and what we're going to call the previous one. You know, when we refer to the Last Hope, will we be talking about the one that happened in 2008 or the one that happened in 2010?
Yeah.
We have to think about this.
Yeah, that's... maybe something with formula. I don't know. It will be funny. I know you. It will be good. I'm totally looking forward to working with you again on the Next Hope.
Likewise. All right, Alder, I'm sure you have things to take care of now with all these thousands of people nestled in tents and...
Yeah, well...
Sending sheep flying into the air.
Yeah, I have a radio show between 2 and 4, on the AHAR FM radio station. They asked me to do one, and I have jingles with me on the USB stick, and it will be fun.
Awesome, I've been listening.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Did you do it last night? Did you?
I was nine, but yeah. I've been listening.
Cool, thank you. It was totally bullshit, of course. But, I hope I can say that on air.
I can always edit it out.
So, yeah, thanks.
All right, take care.
And that was the first hour of pizza and beer. On the other side of the news, we'll be back with more interviews and more reports. I just saw the Dutch Forensics Institute depart. That means if you want to do something really criminal, this is the moment. And looking at the beautiful and always smiling Nancy van Baak, and she will read the news at 5.
It's 5 o'clock on Sunday, the last day of HAR 2009. My name is Nancy van Baak. FTTT, or Fiber to the Tent, is a great thing here at the HAR campsite, but other entities like this as well. There has been a report about UK lifeguards installing a 100 megabit fire connection to their remote quarters at the east coast of northern England. This was mostly completed by the workforce of the rescue personnel themselves. There are still no reports about the usage of bandwidth, though. Can a 13-year-old girl sail around the world alone? The Dutch Laura Dekker wants to do it, and now has to fight with the Dutch authorities. They do not want to allow this two-year journey because they say Laura has to go to school. Laura wants to start on September 1st this year, but now has to find a solution before she can start. The program at HAR goes into its final stages. Right now at Monty Hall we have the final report from the Red Network team, and the results of the Blinkin' Lights movie contest. If you have to leave HAR early, please take care of all your belongings, especially your waste. Hacker events like HAR have a long tradition of leaving the place cleaner than we found it, and this camp will be no exception. The Lost and Found department is located at the info help desk, and additional garbage bags are also available there. There are free sofas available at the BSD village, just go there and take one. The weather, it's sunny, hot and windy this afternoon, with temperatures about 24 degrees. The cure and terror alert for the Netherlands is substantial. That's HAR FM news for this hour. Thank you very much. And
thank you, Nancy. This is, I guess, your first news you're reading.
Mm-hmm. That's
you're
true.
You heard the applause and you thought like... I am going, yeah, somebody is cheering now. You heard the applause in the tent and thought like, I joined the team at the last moment and I really do want to be part of it.
Yes, exactly.
You want to go for the pizza and beer dinner that we are organizing afterwards, right?
Yeah, I have to check with my other half, my worst half. But but perhaps we will, yeah.
Okay, well, that sounds like a very good plan, and that's why I say welcome to Pizza and Beer!
Yoo-hoo!
You've been listening to a retrospective of HAR 2009, the hacker conference which took place in the Netherlands in August of 2009. I want to thank you for listening and thank all the attendees of the HAR conference, as well as the organizers and, of course, the people who broadcast over HAR FM. Until next week, this is Emmanuel Goldstein for Off the Wall. Have a good night.